Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, okay, we're listening. Let's get it. Hey. Everybody, we're back. Season 3, episode 2. Last week we had a good show. I had Amadi, my man, my mellow, hosting the show. You know, I gave my little speech on what happened with my life in sickness and health, and he helped me out. So I'd like to, first of all, introduce my boy, my homie for I don't know how long, Amadi Martin. What's good, baby boy?
Keep going. Tell him more, right? Tell him more.
But before we get started in the show, Amadi, you know, I've been always talking about relationships, and I don't understand how people just automatically jump into a monogamous relationship when basically all their life in the United States, most of the time they are dealing with multiple people and they don't settle down until they get married. So Odetta came up with something, and I think we have a nice treat today for you guys. We're calling this show The More The Merrier, so let me introduce Odetta and allow her to introduce our special guest. Odetta, Peggy, my girl, my Mella. How you doing, baby girl?
Hola. Hey, everybody.
Hello,
everybody,
baby girl.
Weekend. I'm here. We're going to have a little fun tonight. A little fun. So I invited my good friend, Jamal, a.k.a. Mischief, to the show. He has a lot of experience in the poly world, which we're going to get to. He has been deemed our resident poly expert in our group. Okay, okay, we're listening on Facebook.
Yes, he has.
That's our guy. So, welcome, Jamal. Please
hey, what's up, fam? How you guys doing?
What's up, Jamal? How are you?
I'm good.
He's got his radio voice on. Yo, that's crazy. Got your radio voice on, huh?
Come on,
man. Real deep with it,
voice.
Right?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
He changed. That's what's up, bro. I respect that.
He's the expert. Body, relax. Body, always going on somewhere with it, man. Yo, put them brakes on, dump truck. You all over the place, baby.
Got it, Mischief.
What's going on, y'all?
Hey, but first of all, you know, can you answer this question? What is polyamory? Because a lot of people automatically get this misconception about, hey, a guy is a polyamorous. He wants to have multiple wives. He just wants to have sex with a lot of people. Can you explain what it is so our audience can have an understanding of what you're talking about when you say polyamory?
All right, cool. So let's break it down like this. There are a couple of different there's levels to this, as my man Meek Mill said, right? There's levels to this. So at the very, very top, the one that's all-encompassing, the one that makes sure that it covers everything, no matter what it is polyamory. Polyamory literally means multiple loves. Poly means multiple, and amory means love. So multiple loves, period. So whether you are polygamous, which means you're a man married to multiple women, polyandrous, which means you're a woman married to multiple men, you're just openly poly, right? Which means that you are dating multiple people, could be male, female, combination thereof. If you are swinging, if you are cheating, if you are, there's so many different ways we could spin it, right? So polyamorous literally means one person loving more than one other.
Okay. So it doesn't have to do with being married in that particular way, just how you view relationships.
Specifically, when you want to get into marriage, now you're getting into polygamy. Polygamy is one man marrying more than one woman. Or polyandry would be one woman. Doesn't necessarily have to be marrying, but polyandry would be one woman being kind of the head of the house and having more than one man.
I like that.
Keep playing that. Greg, pay attention, Greg.
I am paying attention. And Odetta says she loves it. No, she said she
likes
it.
I said I liked
it.
I'm trying to learn to love it.
Yeah.
Like I'm here to learn.
But Jamal, I knew a woman that had I guess, a spouse, and she had a boyfriend as well, and they lived together. They lived off the grid. They didn't do anything with the government. If they had children, they did it at home. But they was very successful at what they was doing, and I was very shocked by how the husband received her boyfriend. It just threw me off. I don't know how they get into something like that. You know, how would you find people that's acceptable or adaptable to this type of environment? You know, where do you go to find this stuff? Is it religious, or is it some kind of app that you go to? What is it all about?
So, all right.
Hey, get your pen and paper out, everybody.
Before we even break it down to that level where we start finding it, right, you'll find out that we're all able to be poly. Now, you may not think you're mentally capable, and that's a different mindset, but anybody who's a parent who has more than one child, you love both of those kids, don't you?
Okay.
You love both of your parents, don't you?
Sharing a life.
You love all of your fam and your friends, don't you? So you are able to share love. It's just a matter of the types of love that you're trying to share. When we get into romantic love, I think that's agape. I could be wrong. Let me just clarify. There is no such thing as an expert in relationships. I don't care what anybody tells you. And I'm going to tell you the reason I say that is because every relationship is unique to the people who are involved. So even
if
you're not an expert.
You're the expert in our group.
Right. Lead us, expert.
So, like, technically speaking, even if you were like, okay, I know what works for me, you know what worked for you in the past, but that next person might change the whole script for you, and you'll be like, oh, I didn't even realize this is where I needed to be. Or everything that I did before led me to here, and now I'm taking a different tack down a path. Does that make sense?
That makes complete sense.
Definitely.
Before you go any further, though, let's open up the phone lines just in case anybody want to call in and have questions for you, Jamal. You guys can call in at 516-418-5788. Once again, 516-418-5788. We'll be taking phone calls all throughout the show. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jamal.
All right. So, once again, keeping it 100, most people usually end up being monogamous because of societal pressures. You may be interested in more than one person, but you just feel, or you've been shamed, or you've been taught or conditioned or bamboozled or, you know, led astray to believe that there's only, there's that pipe dream that everybody's soul, everybody has a single soulmate out there, and you're supposed to, you know, live this fairy tale life until you find that one that changes your world.
What's wrong with having one, though?
There's nothing. Absolutely nothing wrong with having one. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with it, but what I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with having more than one. See, the problem is whenever people start to look at a standard, those people who accept the standard start to look down on anybody who doesn't accept it.
Right. Right on.
So if you are monogamous and you are, you know, strictly monogamous, you know, a serial monogamous, and you're not going to ever look at anything else or whatever, and because the society that we live in has accepted that, or actually I won't even necessarily say they accept it. Because if you notice, a lot of the people who are always telling you to do something are usually doing something different themselves.
What I
so
say,
you
not
start
what I
looking
do.
At, you start looking at, you know,
the fact that serial monogamous, that's got to be talked about.
Yeah, well, listen, you start looking at politicians telling you what you should do with your body, but, you know, or you should be married to one person, but everybody has a mistress. Really?
Right.
That's how it goes down? The priest is telling you to be, you know, save yourself for marriage, but he's running through the whole congregation. You, like,
well,
there's just so many different things. Doctors getting sick because they ain't listening to the, you know, they know the medicine they piping is wrong. It's so many things.
Right.
So I'm going to try to stay on topic. So when it comes to love, if you take a look, we would never – as a species, really monogamous.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If you take a look, even the way that we procreate, the way mm-hmm. that each unit, each gender has a role,
mm-hmm.
a woman tends to be more selective with her choice of mate because her consequences, the consequences of her actions as far as lovemaking is concerned, are longer lasting.
Right.
A woman, literally, you know, she has sex, she can have sex one time, end up pregnant, so for the next 10 months, literally, she is, you know, saying, bearing a child, so she has to go through all of that hormonal changes, or life changes, she has to change everything about her, or whatever, and then being natural nurturers, they're kind of attached to that child, so no matter what, they are instinctively like, okay, I need to choose well. So if you look, even in nature, forget humans, if you look in nature, what do you always see? The men are always doing what? Having some type of contest to show who's bigger, stronger, faster, capable. Because that's supposed to attract the female. Because if I'm the alpha, then the female is going, okay, he's the biggest, baddest, and strongest. I definitely need to have his kids because my kids are going to be big, strong, and capable too.
Right, right.
So now, let's look at the other side of it. The male, literally, from the time we hit puberty, we are literally capable of creating a child every time we ejaculate.
Absolutely.
From that point till death, doesn't make a difference if you're 19 or 90. We're capable of constantly doing it. So even if you look at just the way our biology is set up, it's not set for a one-on-one scenario. It's really, really not. It never has been. That became something that the church was preaching, and it made it easier to set another level of control.
Yeah, I get that for the men part. Jamal,
right?
Hold on. I get that for the men part, but when you flip that to the woman's side, I don't understand that the logic that you're coming with, because you're saying that a woman can have multiple men too. So how does that equate with this logic that you're coming with right now?
Because if a woman chooses badly, does she not have the choice to have another choice? Or can you have a dude who's better at something than something else? The dude who might be
sexual,
the strongest, it may not always be sexual. Matter of fact, let's clarify immediately. Polyamory is not necessarily focused on sex.
Mm. Good point.
If you want to talk about being focused specifically on sex, now we're talking about harems. Now we're talking about, you know, sexual servants. And submissive, and not even, I don't even want to say submissives, because all submissives are not, all BDSM relationships are not sexual either. But
right.
Literally, you have sexual slaves, you have harems, you have other scenarios of that nature. You have swingers who are there specifically for the sex.
Mm-hmm.
Polyamory is not about the relationship.
It's about the relationship. This is a lot.
Hold on, Marty. You got something to say? Say to Marty.
I don't think I know any females that would even allow, you know, would want to share.
You do. They never show it.
Yeah. That's true. I know a lot of females that do.
No. I'm gonna be honest with you. Ready? Watch this.
Can some of them call into the show?
Well, listen. I'm gonna be honest with you. Ready? Watch this. Right. Peep this.
I'm asking
females
for a friend, though,
have
me.
A tendency. Females have a tendency to be a lot more discreet and smooth with their stuff because they know that historically they have not been at the top of the food chain. Like, so they weren't always the ones who were able to, you know, make certain decisions, and society set them up to be secondary citizens. Right, that's part of the reason there's a massive pushback right now, because if you think about it, if you think about the fairy tale life of, oh, you don't have to work, you stay home, you take care of the kids, you know, you don't, You know what that makes a woman? Dependent.
Hmm.
All of a sudden, her choices, she can't bounce if she wants to. She ain't working. How's she getting money? She can't just up and leave. She can't be like, F you, and like none of that. All that's out the window. So as good as that fairy tale sounds, it was really BS. It was like crack. It was something that they sold and pushed to make sure that they could control you.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because economy has really, economics have really started to jack everybody up, so everybody's working. How many women do you know right now, and Daddy, you can speak to this, how many women do you know right now who are working, holding it down on their own their own vehicles, own their own apartment, whatever, and literally are like, excuse me, if I'm with you, it's by choice, not because I have to be.
Right. I want you here.
It's a change.
I need you.
It's a change. And unfortunately, you have a lot of people who are still in that, you know, mindset of, well, you know, it has to exist, or I still have to live up to these standards, and I still have to do it the old school way. But the reality is women are usually making more than men nowadays, depending on the relationships and the demographic you're talking about. In a black community?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I noticed in Atlanta there's a lot of women that fits that demographic you just talked about. They have their own jobs. They have their own house. They provide everything because there's so many more women than men down here. It's ridiculous. So basically they're just looking for a man just to have a good time and then move on. But
to more of the
point where we're trying to go to with this is when you are in this particular type of relationship or you're trying to find yourself into this relationship, how do you get started? How do you vet people out of the regular crowd and say, hey, I have a open relationship. Are you down? How do you go about that? Like, that's the weird part.
Is that how it goes down?
I don't know.
So listen, I can only speak for myself.
That's how I'm thinking. Like, hey.
So listen, here's the deal. I can only speak for myself, but I do have a tendency to do shock and awe, right? Anybody ever remember going to an amusement park, and when you wanted to get on a dangerous ride, it said you must be this tall to get on this ride? I should have a shirt that says that, because when I start, literally when I start, you know, whatever, when I started, when I met my mates, when I met my people, whatever, the whole nine, I tell you kind of up front, hey, yo, this is who I am and what I'm about. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, everybody that I was trying to get at was with it. There's a lot of beautiful friends that I have who, you know, I'm sure our lives could have been amazing, but they weren't down with what I was pushing, and I wasn't trying to change for them, so we're friends now. But, you know, we respect each other because they respected me more for saying it up front, and I respected them for not trying to give me the BS and then try to change me on the low.
Right.
So we now can respect each other and maintain, you know, a good friendship, you know, whatever. And it's not just one or two. There's a lot of people. I mean, fortunately, I hang out with a lot of really, really, you know, cool, sexy, intelligent, you know,
open-minded
individuals. So
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, okay.
Were you talking about you?
I'll include the
president. I didn't know you were talking about you.
I was including myself. You know, with
oh,
hair.
Gosh.
Thanks.
But
my
so,
gosh,
but literally, how do you get into this? How do you fall into this? Right? How do you say, okay, I'm open to this? That's
right.
The first step. You have to be able to look and say, what are you accepting? See, if you're lying to yourself, if you're accepting a standard that's been placed on you, and you have no idea why it exists or why you're following it, then you're literally kind of in a drone mode, right? You're not thinking. You're going autonomically. You're like, what's happening right now? But once you can look in the mirror and you have that sense of freedom, like, yo, you know something? I really don't care what everybody else thinks. All of a sudden, you will find yourself doing so many other things. Like, yo, why do I want to have a radio show? Like, why do I want to do this? Why do I want to yell?
Jamal, can I ask a question?
Absolutely. That's what I'm here
How
for.
Did you find yourself in this lifestyle? Like, what triggered it? What did you go seeking it? You know, like.
I'm gonna make
How
you
did
laugh.
You become so familiar and start?
So I'm going to make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I was in the friend purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
I was stuck in the friend purgatory. And that's what it is. It's not having a hell. It's that place in the middle that you hate to be because you feel like you could be so much more, but you can't seem to get beyond that. I was always a dude who was intelligent and well-spoken and, you know, I mean, I'm not hard on the eyes. I'm not, you know, but I'm not a jock. I'm not the pretty boy. I'm not the dude who, you know, who had mad, you know, ends in his pocket or rolling with a new whip. So for me, I was a geek. I was a nerd. And the people that I hung around were just like me. So it was cool. But I could never find myself in a relationship, not a solo relationship. I became the maintenance man, did a really good job at it. I became that best friend.
The king of the nerds.
I became the dude who you called at 3 o'clock in the morning because the other dude did something stupid, and now you needed somebody to get you out of the situation. I had, you know, he left you at a spot. I had to come get you, or whatever. So at that time, I thought I was a sucker. I really did. I was like, yo, I'm doing all this stuff, and everybody's calling me, and everybody depends on me for X, Y, Z. I'm doing everything that a gentleman, quote-unquote gentleman, is supposed to be doing, but I'm never enough to be the next dude. Like, I'm never enough to be the dude myself.
Right.
And so from a younger age, and this is high school, I was like, it was like community property. It wasn't, I mean, like, and I wasn't even mad. It was because it wasn't like I wasn't having sex. I was having a lot of sex, often and repeatedly. It was
wonderful. Great.
Right. But when I was looking for a relationship, you know, whatever, like, you know, I mean, I'm talking about even when you were younger, like, you know, puppy love and just like, oh, that's cute. You got a Valentine's and you got a, like, nah, I got Valentine's cards from my mom. Like, it was, you know what I mean? Like, it was, that was it. Like, so you got to a point where, well, I got to a point where I was cool knowing that I was taken care of a number of people. Unfortunately for me, when I finally got into a relationship, by the time I actually had my first, like, official relationship, I was a senior in high school. And yeah, by that time I had, let's just say I had been sexually active for some time, and I already knew I was going to the Navy. My whole mindset was I didn't even know how to have a relationship at that point. Now, what's funny, what made me go into actually poly, even though I was living this life, I never knew the titles or the labels or anything else of that nature. And I was still looking to be that one, you know, that I wanted that dream too. I wanted that same pipe dream that everybody else had. I wanted to be somebody's special one. And so after the Navy, then I went to Hampton. Yeah, 8-to-1 ratio.
It was different.
Sorry, 8-to-1 ratio in the 90s. Yeah, not with Freak Nixon. Yeah, not with Freak Weekend. And I was
DJing
in New York City. Come on, that it was the 90s.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Yeah, I don't know if the statute of limitations is up on some of that stuff. So we ain't gonna talk about
it was crazy.
But no. So. But no, seriously speaking, you know, for me, it was always just like, I was always cool, like being, I know I'm different things for different people. So it was my ex-wife was the one who really was like, oh no, you're a dominant, you're a, you know, swinger, you're a, polyamorous. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? And it was the craziest thing because when we met, she was my ace boon. Like, she was like, we could do anything. So we would have conversations, and we'd be sitting there, like, in the park having, like, lunch. And she'd be like, oh, I know that's your type. You like that Jill Scott type, you know, thick and the blah, blah. I was like, that's my girl. You know I'm calling for me. And I'd be like, no, I know that you like that over there because you always love that dudes with the big arms. And, you know, and I'd flex a little bit for, you know, play around. But we were best friends. So, like, when she introduced this to me, I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I didn't know there was labels to it, but, yeah, I'm living a life already. So why not embrace it? So we had a lot of things going. Now, the funny thing was, as much as she told me about myself, there were a lot of things that she was in denial about her own self. And so, like, we would go out to events, and I would be the person who, and we were both very, very social, right? But I would be the one who was really, like, hosting, and she'd be kind of playing it back with, you know, with a smile sometimes, and then sometimes she just wouldn't. And anybody who knew me was like, nah, I'm not, like, I don't play that game. It's like, you don't tell men, let me just say this, explain this really, really loud and clear for you. If your woman tells you, nah, baby, go ahead, it's okay, I'm just going to sit here, you go ahead and do your thing, it's a trap. It is
yes,
a trap. Not fall
for.
Wait, so she knew all of these things about you, but she really wasn't, like, down with it?
You know something? I'm not sure if she wasn't down with it. I'm not sure if she was being picky. I'm not sure if there was, like, she, like, this, I don't
just,
know.
I guess maybe doing it, being in the moment was like, whoa, this is different.
You know something?
I don't even know
if it was that, but it was like she would be like, yeah, we're good, we're good, we're good. And then as something came, it would always find something to cue on. Something would set the mood off or whatever, and everybody would be having a great time, and then it would be like, okay, so we're going to go do X, Y, Z. Or it wouldn't even be about us playing. It would just be like everybody, and then the mood would shift. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm in security mode right now. So I'm the one kind of overwatching, hosting, and making sure everybody's having a good time, but I'm not partaking. If she's not partaking, I'm not partaking.
Right.
So
smart man.
The whole mood is changed.
That was just the mindset, because at the end of the day, if you're only in it, you know what I'm saying, to you know, get new booty, then you probably shouldn't be in a relationship. If you ain't paying attention,
right?
if you ain't keying off of your partner, yeah, you in for a world.
See, that brings up an interesting point, Jamal, and I'm glad you brought that to the forefront. You know, a lot of times, you know, guys say, well, yeah, I'm a polyamorous, I want to have multiple ladies, but not understanding that is the understanding between you and your partner to bring somebody else in. So if you are, and I'm just saying hypothetically, let's just say you and your lady are feeling another person, how do you bring that in? How do you bring that topic up? Because a lot of times people that's already in a monogamous relationship want to dabble into that life. You know, what advice do you have for them?
Well, if you find that you're interested in it, this conversation should have happened before that person ever walked across the door.
Right.
Like, that conversation should have happened in the monogamous household before you even put yourself in a position where you could be like, oh, yo, she's kind of hot. Like, you like her too? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That should, like, because if you guys aren't on the same page, trust and believe.
Hell.
This right here is a conversation that will,
that's gonna be
really, really shake the foundation. Facts.
Right.
You're going to figure out if you're on solid rock or sinking sand in a heartbeat.
Right.
Because don't think that polyamory means that people don't have egos or people don't want
emotions, feelings.
Or just because, just because they're sharing doesn't mean that they are saying that, oh, their feelings don't count or they're not, you know, as important. Being polyamorous, at least when you're doing it where it's kind of open, honestly, and you're being, you know, ethically polyamorous, where everybody knows and everybody's involved and everybody's aware. They don't all have to interact with each other, but they all know and aware, and they all accept the
roles
that they have.
What do you lean more to? Like, do you live together, or is like separate residences, and you just...
My dream was always to have, I would always love to have had enough resources so I could have had like an apartment building or a multifamily. Where would it just be?
Nice. You said multifamily. I get it.
Like
a co-op, like a duplex.
But no, the reality is, because it's not, I never liked separate connections. See what I'm saying? Like, I never wanted it to. I'd rather it be a circle where everybody's kind of connected to each other, even if it's not intimately connected. Everybody knows and, you know, interacting with each other at some level. So if you have somebody who loves to cook, she might be the one who cooks for the house. But the other one is great with finances, so she's handling the accounting.
Right.
And that other dude.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
And that other dude who might come in, that other dude may be coming in because he holds down another position that you can't. He might be the one who could defend and protect while you're providing.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like I said, when I started the show, I knew a couple that had another guy involved in them. And what was happening is that the husband was defending the boyfriend. He was very protective of the boyfriend. The boyfriend, the brains behind the whole thing. And whatever they need, he was the one that was in the forefront. But he never claimed any of the children to be his. He said, well, that's their children. And but is it some way or another that it's all did their part to make everything work? And, you know,
see,
it wasn't like some...
That's any relationship.
Right.
Every relationship is the same thing. You have to understand what your role is. You have to accept it, and you have to play that damn role. So whether you're monogamous, listen, if you're in a relationship, you're a monogamous relationship, and your girl is used to you being the one who provides,
you better
What? You better provide.
Right.
If that needs to change, then a conversation needs to happen. It doesn't make a difference if we're talking about monogamy, polyamory, or anything else. If you have a role to play, a relationship is an, is a
job,
not even a job, a responsibility between multiple people. So
it makes logical sense.
You can have a business relationship. You can have a professional relationship. You can have a familial relationship. You can, relationships are literally how people interact with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're talking about poly, now something you had said. About that couple, about that trio that you were mentioning.
Triad.
Yeah, it is called the triad. So, but the thing about the triad that you were mentioning was they went off grid.
Yeah.
They said, F the world, and we're going to live by our own rules. So you found they found it was a lot easier to do what they did or what they're doing because they weren't worried about the rest of the world pushing in and interfering in, like, all right, everybody's aware of the Ayesha Curry situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ayesha Curry and Steph Curry. Steph is probably the most, like, he's probably the lamest dude in the NBA, right? And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying Steph is the dude who's going to be out partying. He's not built that way. That's not his mindset. That's not where he's coming from. He's not one of the dudes who was trying to, you know, be a dog back in the day. You know, forget the fact that he's, you know, light-skinned brother with pretty eyes and all that, like, and making millions and the MVP of, like, you never heard about Steph Curry involved with anything, period. Not
no
a
scandals.
Movie, not a... Not a side mistress, not a jump off, not a, like, nobody was looking at him sideways. Anybody who thought about it, he was never looking back. So you can't control what other people are doing to you, but you can control yourself.
Right.
So people ask me on a regular basis, it's like, I feel like, once again, I have really great taste, right? So if I'm out with one of my mates, I expect people to look at her. Like, if they didn't, then I'm probably doing something wrong. Like, what am I doing, right?
She's not wearing the right clothes.
But am I getting jealous? No, I'm not.
Right.
Because I know what I picked.
I like how you brought that all together because I think that a lot of people that's in a monogamous relationship have a lot of insecurities. And obviously, if you're going to be in a polyamorous relationship, you have less insecurities because you – comfortable with your lady doing certain things, or she's more comfortable with you. Oh, not.
No,
no, it's not. So let me explain this. Human beings are human beings. Insecurities exist for everyone. It's not that I don't ever worry about is there anybody else that my mates might be interested in.
Right.
I've actually encouraged them to look for other people that make them happy. I get busy. Like, it's not even about me running around doing a bunch of stuff. Like, I'm if you get to know me, you'll know that I'm into a lot of stuff. And I'm also a dude who I do disaster response, so I may be on call. I may get deployed. Like, so for me, I'm also a DJ and an IT. So, like, as a consultant, I'm always on call for, like, whatever I'm doing. So for me, it was always about, yo, if I know I'm going to be on the road, do I have somebody who's going to be able to cuddle or chill or take you out to that movie or whatever when I know I'm going to be out missing?
Mm-hmm.
because my lifestyle isn't the way I want it, where everybody's living together, you know, whatever, and I have two primary mates, and one's, you know, up in Orange, and one's in New York City.
You have two right now, so you have a triad?
No, it's not a triad. I do have two, but it's not a triad, because the other two do not communicate. You don't. They don't close off the triangle.
Oh, okay, all right. So, I mean, what is your limit? Where are you looking to go? Where's your numbers at? I mean, what's your forecast?
So, I never walked into this thinking that I had a number, because then I'm trying to achieve a goal that, you know, why? Like, if I'm good with one, then I'm good with one. If the two work, then it's great. If I have more and it's working for everybody, then, you know, as the show says, the more the merrier.
The more the merrier.
But
so it's not about numbers.
Wait,
like,
let me finish. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
But there are resources that are being used. There's time. There's not just regular time. There's quality time that has to be spent. Everybody still needs to feel special. Everybody still needs to feel,
has,
you know,
needs,
loved. Everybody
yeah.
still needs to be wanted and needed. So the more you stretch yourself out, if there aren't the multiple connections involved, if you don't have other people, you know what I'm saying, whatever, also in that mix to help spread love, you know, like it's the Brooklyn way. Yo, real talk, you will end up in a real world of hurt. Because you keep going, oh, I can keep adding on, and I'm just going to, you know, run through new stuff. I have something new every day. Nah, homie, every car that you have requires insurance, maintenance, and upkeep. And there's no difference between your car or your, you know what I'm saying, and I'm not trying to call a woman an object, but I hope you understand the reference where I was going with it. So the maintenance and upkeep is necessary.
No, I get it.
And if you don't,
I get it,
you don't, if you don't put that resources in.
It's not about sex at all. It's about filling those needs and filling the whole entire circle or that heart. If like you said, if one person does it, then fine. But if you need multiple people to do that, then fine. I get that. That makes complete sense to me, because as you started off the show, Jamal, you were talking about, you know, if you're in love with somebody, it doesn't mean that you have a soulmate. You could be in love with multiple people. I get that. And for a whole lifetime, like, especially for me, I got married at 20-something years old. The 20-year-old me wasn't the same person as the 43-year-old me. So how can I say that I know exactly what I want for the whole entire life from 20 years old to
at that
death?
Age,
I don't
right.
know.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that makes complete sense. That makes complete sense to me. Mm-hmm. But what is the backlash that you have behind this? Like, your family, your friends? I know you said you're very open and you have a wide plethora of people that you deal with. But what is the backlash of, I guess, the conservative people that don't believe in that? What is that, and how does that affect you?
For the most part, I don't really let it affect me too much. I'm a live and let live kind of person. So, fortunately for me, I grew up with a real strong dichotomy in my house. My mother is a minister. My dad was an agnostic. Not an atheist, but agnostic. So, like, every Sunday, I was up in church and, you know, singing and uttering
really
and all the other good stuff, right? And my dad would stay home. Every Sunday when we came home, there was always breakfast cooked. And, you know, it was all good, but like, I was like, yo, I want to stay home with dad. And he was like, no. I'm like, but if you ain't going, why do I got to go? And he was like, because you need a foundation. And I was like, oh. But that dichotomy, that type of dichotomy, you know, being able to see two different people with two different mindsets peacefully coexist, helped to build my foundation. So I'm open to seeing other people go, oh, no, I get it. You don't have to like what I do. Now, like I said, the friends that I have now, I have a lot of friends who – I'm pretty sure we saw each other at one point as marriage material, right? But we also realized that there were deal breakers. You know, just because all the chemistry is right and this, that, and the other, if you're not willing to make that turn for me and I'm not willing to make that change for you, then we may be better off here as friends.
That's fine.
We can still respect each other and not hate each other, and
Right.
You know?
Before it turns into hate. I get that. That makes complete sense to me.
Hey, but that's what it is. So when you look at polyamory, a lot of people, so, and I know I'm looking at the time, so before I lose it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me clarify a couple of different things.
Go ahead.
Cheating, even though it falls underneath a polyamory, it's not what we really consider ethical polyamory.
Okay.
Right? Cheating is, you can cheat in a polyamorous relationship. You can cheat in any relationship. Just because you have permission to be with others, if there's rules to this stuff that you break, you're cheating. You're breaking the rules, and it doesn't make a difference what the classification of your relationship was or is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So cheating is cheating is cheating is cheating is cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Swinging used to be about couples. It used to be swapping. So it used to be couples that would come through and they would never lose their connection with their partner, but because they both wanted something else, they were comfortable enough to with themselves and the people that they were socializing with, so they could swap. And they could all have fun, and then the parties would get bigger, and you got, you know, more options. And, yo, once again, as long as everybody's safe, sane, and consensual, rock on.
Yo, you sound like my 20s. I mean, that was my life. I mean, that was different. But it sounds like the 20s. You know what I mean? I don't remember much of them days.
You were swinging?
It was what it was. Swinging,
so,
I mean, we
called it truth or dare.
Yeah, we ain't play games.
Gosh.
Yeah, we ain't play no games. Get a telly, get it popping. Let's go. Come on.
Pop off.
Yeah,
But once again, you had a soul focus. You knew what you wanted. You wasn't trying to get connected. Now, the problem is when we start lying to get what we want. The moment you start to lie.
Yeah, it just sounds like a mature way of doing all that.
it is. But I mean,
it is.
Honestly,
I like it, though.
It's different.
You're 40-something. Of course you like it now. You wouldn't like it when you were 20-something. That's too much work.
You know something?
You don't know.
That's not true. When you were 20-something, you could have got away with it. You just didn't have the confidence to think that you could.
Oh, no.
I had the confidence. Or you didn't like the fact that you might have to walk away from something you wanted.
Right. That's it. Ding.
I didn't have to walk away from something I wanted either. I was happy. We're having both of them.
No, I was all in when I was in my 20s, because that's before the internet. I could go to any city and, like, I play for the Jets.
You and you.
I play for the Giants. I could have said anything, but I was lying on that, though. I wasn't actually being truthful with what I wanted.
Right.
And how I wanted to get it. But I guess you're right. You're right. It is a more mature way, Amadi, of actually doing what we did when we was younger.
I know, I'm right. What are you talking about? I've been analyzed this. That's why I had to say it. All right.
Relax.
So as you get older and you get wiser and you get more experiences, you start to turn around and go, why am I lying again? It's really not worth it. Like, I am who I am. And if you can't rock with who I am, you know, there are other options.
We're not
for each other, and I'm good with that. Like, literally, people who could have been marriage material, but
I kind of did that in my 20s, too.
Like,
I didn't lie. I just didn't tell everybody what was going on. Everybody didn't even
know.
No, you
lied.
That's lying.
That's not lying. It's called omission.
Hey, you could have got lied, too. Stop it.
Amadi, let me explain this. You ready? So you were not lying. It was called omission, but you were still seeking to deceive because you knew if they knew, that game would have been up. It would have been bingo, and you were out this piece. So, but.
Hey, you got something's got to be sacrificed, you know what I mean?
Hey, listen.
You got to experience other things, you know what I mean?
Here's the funny thing. Women do it, too. Y'all just don't know.
Never.
Most of the time, the male ego is so fragile because we're so used to competing for this, that, and the other. We're always, fluffing our feathers or
buying at the bar,
whatever it may be, buying it at the bar, showing up with the rolly on the wrist, or your watch game better be strong, or your shoe game better be tight, or whatever it is, your car, your job, whatever.
Think
right? So, we, So we're so used to competing that our our egos tend to be really fragile, because the moment that our self image of ourselves, once our self image is kind of tarnished, and we're like, oh damn, maybe we're not what we thought we were, you know, or maybe I'm not what I was reporting myself to be. It starts you down a real dark spiral. It puts you in a real bad position, and then you start lying and doing dumb stuff for dumb reasons. And like, so when you understand the motivation behind people's movement, everything opens up. You see it clearly, like so clearly. And you're like, I get it. I understand it. I know you were going to make this move. I saw it coming a mile away, but I also saw that, you know, you were affected by these words or this action, and you're lashing out because you don't know how else to deal with it. Okay, cool.
Jamal, I got two questions for you before we, you know, go down this path still. I want to change direction just a little bit. My first question is, if you find a woman that wants to get into this particular lifestyle and she has children, how does that affect you and your decision-making to deal with them? And obviously, you know that she has never been into that type of relationship, and you know that she has a baby father, and how do you introduce her into it? How do you introduce the children into it? So on and so on.
What would the difference be if you were dating and you were monogamous and the same situation happened?
I guess you have to just
deal
with it.
Well, it's easier based on society standards, right? Like, okay. But you're introducing and opening a whole different.
Well, listen, it's once again, it's a part of the same conversation.
Okay.
It's a part of that same conversation. If you're really, like, first and foremost, you want to know she has kids on date one, but you ain't going to meet the kids for a minute.
Right.
So way before you get to the, oh, yeah, you met the kids, I mean, you could smash and then be in the house and, like, wake up and see the little one when you walk out the door getting breakfast. Been there, done that. The 20s was memorable. But the other side of it is, you know, realistically speaking, you know, that probably won't happen for a while. And if you're open and honest with yourself first and then the person you're messing with next, yo, everybody has a choice to be like, yo, I didn't think I was going to, like, I wasn't open. I didn't think, you know, I thought she was just trying to do X, Y, Z. And most people have this misconstrued conception of polyamory because all they're thinking about is dudes cheating.
Sex. Yeah.
Yep. They always just think about
multiple
sex.
Women. Yep.
And it's really not about sex as much as it is intimacy.
Yeah, because I noticed.
Go ahead.
I noticed that the younger generation, like, I get a lot of women, you know, I've been telling them about our show, and, you know, a lot of women say, when are you going to do a show about this particular topic here? Because they're interested in that. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I could find anybody that could do that. And lo and behold, here you come.
Well, it's a different world now. It's an entirely
different
world.
Yeah, it's a different world. The internet is wide open things up. But the thing is that she has a child, and she's looking at it like, you know what? I don't know how I could actually get into a relationship like that. What can I bring to the table? Because I have my child. I don't know if a group of people will want to have me plus my child into that type of relationship. I'm like,
but
I don't think they
might
be different.
You might be the perfect connect for the group that's
I
like,
know.
Yo, I don't want to have kids, but I love children.
Mm.
You might be perfect. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might be that tailor-made for, I mean, we can talk about unicorns and other.
I know about unicorns.
Later. But, like, literally, you might be tailor-made for something of that nature. If you're blocking your own blessing, as my mom would say, if you're blocking your own opportunity, then you can't blame nobody for it not working but yourself. If you started off with, well, they ain't going to want me because... okay, well, you said it out loud from the gate.
It's scary, yeah,
you
put it out there.
Because that's what you put out there.
My second question I have for you is, and I asked you this earlier, but I'm not sure if you really answered or not, but are there forums and groups that can actually help people out to get into this type of lifestyle?
Absolutely.
A lot of people have been asking me this, and they don't know where to go, because I think we talked about this on our pre-show about, you know, there's a lot of pretenders out there. They're trying to just dominate a woman or just have multiple sex partners, and just there's a lot of things they have to go through, a lot of fluff they have to get through. So is there any path or any direction that you can actually give these people now, saying, okay, go to this website, they have good information for this, so on and so on?
So I'm going to say this. Meeting anybody, no matter what the label or relationship is, you still got to vet them. You still got to figure it out for yourself. You meet them in a bar, in a club, they might be real different than when you met them at the library or at the job. So you're still going to have to spend time and put some research in and look and figure out, like, look at their actions and what they're saying. Do those things add up? Are they living, are you seeing the life that they claim to be living?
Mm-hmm.
Are they only online talking stuff
mm-hmm.
that you never see it? If you don't go in cautiously or tentatively, then it's something that you might want to consider looking at yourself. Why are you so open to just believing anything anybody has to say? We've all seen catfish. Like, so if you
right.
say, you know, you didn't know people didn't
lesson.
Do this.
Right.
right. As far as groups, I would definitely urge FetLife. So FetLife, F-E-T-L-I-F-E. It's an app. And it's also a group that you can get into for anybody who's into what they like to call alternative lifestyles. That's one. If you're on Facebook, I know they have Instagram and what's the name, but most of the people I usually associate with are a little bit older and a little different. So, but if you take a look on Facebook and you look for polyamory, so you look for poly. Black and Poly is definitely one that I like, you know, whatever, because it
oh, Dad, are you writing this down?
I am.
It deals,
I know you
it deals with,
she know you got her membership.
With,
cut it out.
It deals with polyamory from the black perspective and how, you know, a lot of the things that we deal with as black people have intersection with our polyamory and how it affects us. So,
yeah, at this point, Greg, you should get your pen and paper out too, bro.
I already got mine on.
But there are also, you will find that there are forums that will tell you that they're looking for poly, no swingers, because they want people who are really poly looking for the relationship, not just people looking for sexual partners.
So
then you have groups that are swing
apps?
Groups.
Yeah, what's up with that?
There's a lot of swing apps. If you put in swing, literally on Facebook, you'll see Swing Culture is one. Especially if you like black people, swingculture.com.
I do. I love
they
black people.
They actually have a camping event that they do yearly where everybody goes out and is intense and it's nudist. And it's like Woodstock.
Daddy, we love that.
It's like Woodstock for...
Can you stop interrupting him, please?
Yeah, I can't
out.
Hear him, Marty. He has to articulate
right.
what he's got to say to us, Marty. We're trying to listen. You're in the relationship with him. Me and Dino Dad are trying to figure this stuff out.
Google it, you clown.
No, but Jamal, one more thing I have to ask you. And
go
please.
For it.
Do you feel that just because, you know, like I know you said this earlier in the show, based off of we got this stigma that we all have to be monogamous. Do you think that's just a culture that's been derived from the European culture over into the United
yes.
States? And,
yes.
and when you travel
yes.
to like
yes.
Africa?
Stop
or, okay.
Yes. Stop speaking immediately, right now. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But you know something? There's a reason
yeah.
for it, and I'm going to explain it because
yeah.
I know we run out of time. So watch this.
Yeah.
If you ever want to take a look and see why people of color
mm-hmm.
and people from Europe act differently,
mm-hmm.
those people from Africa and South America came from what? Plenty. Rivers,
mm-hmm.
lakes, streams, bountiful with animals and food, and like you weren't dealing with famine. And what do you deal with in Europe? Mountains, a lot of rocks, a lot of rocky area. You don't get a lot of room for growth as far as food and other resources. So when you looked at tribal life, even now in Amazon, if you looked at tribal life, if a stranger came across a tribe, they were accepted. Hey, brother, where you going? What do you need? Have a seat. Let
right.
me get you some water,
right. Right.
or food.
Right.
And if you came through, we shared. And that wasn't just with food. And I'm not saying
ooh.
You coming in, I'm giving you my wife. But at the same token, our mindset was different. So we were more open and accepting of others. So being able to share, if you look, there was a matriarchy where the mama was always the head. Everybody paid reference to the big mama.
Right.
There may have been a chieftain, a dude who held it down and was a protector and an alpha and provider, but everybody respected Big Mama. Everybody respected the grandmother. Everybody respected the elders. Everybody. And and that wasn't just for, you know, blacks and browns, but if you look at the Native Americans, they got their, all of their stuff from us. We were here way before Columbus got here. But we
absolutely
can start breaking that down differently. So, but literally, but when you look at everybody who's coming from Europe, what were they doing? They were fighting for everything because everything there was survival. They had to survive. So their mindset was different. So when it comes to, yes, is it because it was a form of control? Because guess what? Who has to marry you? Either the government or the church.
Right.
Who wants to control you? Either the government or the church.
Or the church. Makes sense to me. I
when
get
you
it.
Do it on your own, if you're ever out just hanging out with your people by yourself, and you see yourself like you're flirting and you got a bunch of people rocking with you, this, that, and the other, and you'd be like, oh, this, you know, this isn't bad. And you don't have to be a hoe or a slut or anything else. You were just having fun, and everybody was vibing off of your thing. You know what I'm saying? Off of your energy. And normally, what do we do? We usually, what do we, the first thing we do, if everybody's smoking, what do? Get into a cypher. If you're rapping, what do? You get into a cypher.
Everybody
rapping.
You
still hold on to those very same things. You saw one person start singing, a whole squad start singing.
Somebody's
going.
Yep.
But you see what I'm saying?
Bars.
Like, we are still very, very poly-minded. We just are indoctrinated and conditioned to be European-centric in our views and our beliefs and our values.
Well, Jamal, I thank you. All the stuff that you gave to us tonight is very powerful. I hope that listeners have something to actually take back and try to get some understanding of this. It's not just about sex. It's about opening up your mind, opening up your heart to whatever you need to get fulfilled. And I really appreciate you coming on to the show today.
Yo, thanks for having me. Anytime you want to call me, you know where to find me. I'm in the group.
No doubt. Hamadi, anything you want to leave our listening audience?
Nah, man, I just got home, just getting off work. I'm about to go get some grub.
That's good enough. Thank you. That's good. Thank you. Odetta, what you got, baby girl? I know you got something.
What I got, my takeaway is sign me up. I need two strong bucks.
Wow.
What do you call it, a triad?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah, I need my triad to be complete.
Yo, this is crazy.
Did he be 6'4" and all muscular?
Huh?
Oh, need to be 6'4" and muscular?
Well, at least 6 feet.
Gosh.
And thick. I like my men thick. Good job.
I'm not going to ask you what the thing you're talking about, but okay.
Yeah, I got to go.
I'm good.
I got you covered.
I know where to go.
With that note, guys, thank you very much. And we'll see y'all later.
Okay, we're moving.
Oh, is that a call?
Somebody's listening.
I'm not letting them in.
Cancel it.
You might be part of my
client. Yo, I gotta go. That's hilarious.